Brian Sutherby, former NHLer, writes at OilersNation.com right now. First of all, what do you think of Mike Gillis? If you're a Vancouver Canuck player, you're in that locker room, Brian, and last year you're like, man, we got two really good goaltenders. Now all of a sudden you go and neither one of them are there. Bo Horvat's not in your locker room. Sean Matthias has got about six goals, and Jakob Markstrom might be good in the future. Those guys got to be thinking, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, exactly that. I don't know. I'm over here shaking my head when you're talking about the rundown of the trade and what they had last year to now. It just seems crazy. Obviously, it seemed like they were under the gun a little bit having to make a decision, but when you see what they're left with right now, it's a mess.
Oh, huge mess. Huge mess. They're probably not done. They're going to try to clear out some more guys.
Well, I think at this point that you got to think they're slowly moving into a rebuild, and maybe there's a lot more to the Kessler thing and all this stuff was going on behind the scenes. So it's interesting. If you're a player on the Vancouver Canucks and a guy that felt like you're only a few years away from a cup run and a team that was still going somewhere, you're not very happy with these moves right now.
No, not at all. From a team, it shows kind of how quickly things change. How much of this do you think is on John Tortorella?
Well, I wonder, I don't know how much, if sort of this deal was in place before the Heritage Classic, how much Tort's involvement had. I know when he left New York that there was some hostility in that dressing room with him, and obviously he wants a certain culture in that dressing room, and maybe he didn't mesh so much with some of those guys, and that does have a factor. I don't really know. I haven't talked to anyone in that room about it, but I know it was a little messy when he left New York. He's an abrasive guy, likes to be in the media, and has made headlines throughout the year, so perhaps he is rubbing some guys the wrong way.
The Edmonton Oilers, Brizgalov out, Victor Foss in. 30 games, I'm not sure you can really get a read on anybody after 30 NHL games.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think it seems like a lot of people are excited that, the goaltending situation seems to be shored up a little bit. But, you're still getting a guy that played on a very good team in Anaheim for the last couple of years, and he's been hurt most of this year. So I really don't know if you can know what you're getting in him. Things that, he's an older guy. He played in the Swedish Elite League for many years. And, it seems, I think for the most part, that it'll be a lot of good competition between him and Scrivens. And I think they still have the ability, if it was presented to them, to even acquire another goalie, because I don't think the salary at this point is very high. But it looks like they're going to try to compete, and it's worth a risk.
Yeah, I think it's worth it for sure. Some other moves. McDonald, the defenseman, it's interesting. It's hard to get a read on him. He's playing a ton of minutes. A lot of people say, well, yeah, he's playing 26, but on a good team, he wouldn't be.
Yeah.
He goes into Philadelphia and likely slots in to their second pairing there. How much easier or harder do you think it's going to be for a guy who's used to playing 26 minutes to go down to play 20 minutes?
It's hard to say. Maybe he's a guy that is playing a little over his head at times. He's playing in New York where he could be asked to be doing more than he probably should. Maybe a little bit like a Jeff Petrie here. It could be a situation where it is an adjustment for him, good or bad. I remember a lot of times after playing so few minutes that when I'd get up every once in a while in the 15, 16 range, I couldn't handle it. I almost felt like I played better when I was sitting at 12, 13. For whatever reason, I felt like that was when I played my best. So who knows? He may enjoy it. He may relish in the fact that he doesn't have to play against top competition if he's going to only be in the 3-4 spot, and you may see him become even a better player.
It's interesting you mention that, because people will say, well, man, 13 minutes, you go up to 15, every player wants to play more. Mm-hmm. And that's really only 2.5 extra shifts.
Yep.
So is it more mental than physical?
Maybe, but I'm coming from a place where I completely opposite of him, where he's playing 26 minutes and he may go to Philly and get a breather. So it might seem like he's sitting on the bench. I was playing 7, 8, 9 minutes a night, and then all of a sudden you're asked to jump up to 15, 16. That seemed like a big jump for me, and I didn't like sitting on the bench when I was only playing 7 or 8 minutes, and I really just sort of felt like when I played my best and I'd look back on the games, I was sort of in the 12-13 range. And when I got a little extended and a little tired, I felt like I didn't play as well.
Former NHLer Brian Sutherby joins us. A busy day in the National Hockey League. Trades flying fast and furious. Mike Weaver is a player. I think this is a really good move by the Montreal Canadiens to acquire Weaver. I think, you know, he's a highly, highly competitive guy.
Yeah, well, it's just one of those moves that a lot of people probably don't even know who he is, but just sort of a depth move. A very competitive guy. He's built like a brick, smaller guy, but plays the game hard, competes. And some teams don't want to make huge splashes on deadline day. They want to just add little pieces here and there, and he could be one of those guys that is a good depth addition for them.
Smith, Hemsky, Schultz. Now, I want to ask you about this. You know, when you played, there wasn't a lot of social media around, right? And I know family members can be pretty emotional. Nick Schultz's brother, about a few weeks ago, had actually put out a tweet, and I'd because I'm not a guy who really likes to create controversy when it's not there. Yeah. I know that players don't, you know, your family doesn't speak for you. Some people have vocal siblings or parents or whatever. Last night, he went on a little bit of a tirade on Twitter and then deleted his account today. You know, Nick Schultz, of course, is on the verge of being traded. Mm-hmm. But how do you react? Because, you know, back in the day, it wasn't necessarily in social media, but players or girlfriends would be quoted at times. Yeah. Did you ever say things to any of your family members or buddies to say, hey, zip it? Like, this is never going, you can never go and talk to the media?
I never had to worry about the media, I guess. There would be certain things or nights where I know my dad wishes he could have called a GM or two of mine, and I'm like, are you crazy? Like, never ever say that ever again. But he's an intense guy. I'm sure a lot of players would say their dads have wanted to do the same, but you get to that level and it's got to be more about just you as a person, and hopefully the people that are around you can consider that when they're tweeting or writing or talking to the media, that what they're saying is ultimately going to affect the player and not so much the brother, cousin, uncle, dad, whatever.
And now in social media, if you're somebody who goes, especially if you write on there Nick Schultz brother, right, it's kind of obvious who you are, that people, even if Nick Schultz hadn't said those things and it's the guy's own opinion, the team is going to look at that and say, what are you doing to the player?
Oh, yeah. And they're going to assume that Nick has talked to his brother and that those things that are being said are probably somewhat accurate, I guess. Even if they aren't, that's going to be the assumption.
I guess it's easy because Schultz, like, if he was still here, I'm guessing it would be more of an uncomfortable situation rather than a guy who's going to play one game and likely get dealt tomorrow.
I didn't even see what he said.
Wow.
What?
Well, he deleted all of them, but basically the gist in a lot of them was that, you know, there was a lot of the golden boys who could do nothing wrong.
Gotcha.
Right? Hemsky was one of them. Hall was one of them. Those type of things.
Yeah.
And I've had really long conversations, and I know Nick from a long time ago.
Yeah.
He's a very unassuming guy.
Yes.
He's very quiet guy. He never, you know, when we talked about different, and he was honest in his assessment of players, I never got the sense that he despised guys at all. So that's where I'm saying, okay, that's a guy who's frustrated, right? Because if you also read his tweets, you know, his brother talked about how, you know, Nick Schultz can fly and he's a great skater. And I'm like, well, hey, buddy, like, obviously I understand you're his brother, but no offense.
You
know, I've talked to Nick about his speed. He's not a guy who anybody ever says can fly, right? So you do take that with the grain. I always just wondered, you know, nowadays if players have to talk to their family members or siblings even more and say, hey, if you're on social media, be smart.
Well, I think you have to. Yeah. Absolutely, you have to put it out there. And I know Schultz. I played with him World Juniors. We played against each other for 4 years in the Western League. He made the jump to Minnesota and left me behind in the Western Hockey League, but went through the draft process together, World Juniors. And like you just said, he's a very unassuming guy, quiet guy. And yeah, it's got to be somewhat disappointing that's out there now.
A lot of Canuck fans are absolutely rattled on text message today. Why the bleep bleep did Gillis give up Luongo for nothing? Rattled Canucks fan. I got a lot more of them. We don't know. I think the situation had gotten to the point. Luongo wasn't happy. He obviously wanted out. Right? He'll say it caught him off guard. It didn't catch him off guard. Come on. The Canucks, they have nobody to blame but themselves for this situation.
Yeah.
None. The minute Mike Gillis signed that contract to Roberto Luongo, he made the decision that this is his guy long term.
Yeah.
So he should have got the most that he could get for a Schneider. And hey, a ninth overall pick might be good, but You put yourself in that situation.
Agreed.
And you have no one else to blame. When you back yourself, it's not like you having two number one centers is different, right? Oh, geez, one guy has to play 20 minutes in the first line, one guy has to play 20 in the second. We'll deal with it. You can't do that with goaltending position. You just can't. And when you sign a guy for an extra long lifetime guaranteed contract, whether you've made the decision, it's apparent to everybody in the sporting world, you've made that decision. So there was no chance he was ever going to get good market value for either one of them. And that's essentially what he's got now.
And now he's going to have a few guys, potentially this Kessler thing, maybe that's coming from this. And maybe there's going to be other guys that are wanting out. So it's that's a mess.
So in case you're missing, Roberto Luongo to Florida for Jakob Markstrom, their young goaltender. People are high on him, but he's still not proven. There's high on a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I always take guarantee over high on because you never know if the high on's ever going to become high on. Sean Matthias, I know you like him as a player.
Well, I don't know if I'd go so far as saying I like him as a player. He's a guy that you see score the highlight reel goal every once in a while, and you wonder why that doesn't happen every night. He's a big guy. He skates well, and it seems like when he does score, it's a very highly skilled goal. He buried one the other night. I can't remember who it was against, but a really nice move and tight, but only his fifth or sixth goal of the year, and he's been around for a while, so I think that you could consider that he's been underachieving to date in his career.
And Florida's going to take on some money. Bob McKenzie just tweeted out, but it's not a significant amount, like $1 million a year, give or take. Man. So they're Florida's going to eat a lot of his cap it, which is fine. Obviously, I think Tim Thomas maybe to Washington now because I don't see Thomas and Luongo, although they could pump each other's tires in the locker room now. That would be fun. Like if Tim Thomas had a sense of humor, and I don't know if he's on Twitter or not, but he'd be out there. Hey, I think he should pump Luongo's tires right now for sure. I think that would be hilarious.
Yes.
That would be awesome. Yeah, or have Luongo's pretty funny guy. I'm surprised he hasn't tweeted out something like, Tim, are you going to pump my tires now as a joke? Come on. That would be golden.
Yeah. I just saw Bobby Louie just tweeted a palm tree.
Yeah.
That was at about 10,000 retweets.